Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to start out. I know one thing I want to mention. Carla's been teaching the last two Wednesdays on finances. It's kind of like a financial seminar that she's been doing. And she'll be teaching again this Wednesday along the same lines. And I'm telling you, it's really good. I guess one other thing I'd like to say at this time. One of the things I want our teachers to get is that when we're teaching at any time to the church body, that we're all in the same boat. You know, because I've heard a lot of ministers, not here, but a lot of ministers in general in the body of Christ through the years and teachers. And sometimes it's like I'm teaching at you, but not... I've not experienced it. I'm not going through it. I don't know what it's like to be doing what I'm talking about is pretty much. And I have a phrase that I say is putting everyone in the same boat together. And Carla, you couldn't have done it better than you did it on that Wednesday night when you said, it was so hilariously funny to me. I still laugh about it. She said, I thought I was teaching this message to the people. And the Holy Spirit said, I am the people. You are the people. And I just thought that was so cool. It was funny. It was hilarious to me. I'm going to be reading a confession from Pastor Sharon. So if you would just raise your hands this way. I declare the Spirit of truth abides in you and teaches you all things. He guides you into all truth. Therefore, I declare you have perfect knowledge of every situation and every circumstance you come up against, for you have the wisdom of God. I declare you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways you acknowledge Him, and He directs your path. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth you. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened with revelation knowledge to the hope of His calling. You're not conformed to this world, but you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is renewed by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And before I give the prayer this morning, one thing. Well, you know, we didn't do neighbor-looking time at all. Let's do neighbor-looking time. We haven't done neighbor-looking time in a while. Look at your neighbor, smile at your neighbor, point at your neighbor, and say, I came to receive God's good word this day. And I declare, I'm ready. Are you ready to receive God's good word this day? And I declare, I'll never, never, ever be the same again in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And just if you will, I would like to reverence the Spirit of God in the service this morning, and very little moving around if we can do it, and we just want to see what He'll do. Amen. So I want you to go to Romans chapter 14 in your Bibles, and I'm going to pray over you. Father, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service, and I just thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened according to the hope of your calling. I thank you for revelation knowledge. I thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in our midst. I thank you, Holy Spirit, just have your way. Have your way. Help me teach this day. Help me say exactly what I should say this day, Holy Spirit. Father God, I just thank you and I praise you for what you're going to do and your glory being revealed in the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're in Romans 14, and the title today is, So Tend to Your Knitting. So how many of y'all knit? No wonder you got to tend to your knitting. See, the Holy Spirit knows what we need today. We need to learn how to knit. Okay. I'm gonna be skipping around in Romans 14, back and forth all over the place today. I'm gonna use portion of some scriptures, the whole scripture in other instances, but I'm gonna be all over the place. So it won't be just straightforward, is what I'm saying. I'm reading today out of the Message, and I'm gonna just go ahead and start. Romans 14 and 1. Welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they're strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. I notice you find that a lot in the Word of God. Treat them gently. Now, my lightning fast mind, after I studied for a long time on this message, I finally got it clear in my heart. I had it confirmed. I knew what I was teaching, and I knew he'd already told me over and over what I was teaching, but I didn't realize really the gist of it, the focus of it, is about not arguing. That's really the focus of this teaching. Well, you say, well, Pastor, you taught a few weeks ago about not complaining. I did, because that's what God put on my heart to teach. And I don't pick these messages. The Lord gives me the messages. There's 1,000 messages I could preach and would like to preach, but I have to follow what he highlights to me, and he illuminated this to me for this group of people this day and the ones that are on Facebook and social medias. Amen? Now, let's discuss a little bit about sometimes people have religious spirits and they can't do what this scripture says. They can't respect other people's right to believe differently or look at things differently. They have a lot of legalistic rules. They judge and criticize people and things. They point their fingers. Now, I'm going to jump over. Y'all stay in Romans 14. I'm going to jump to 2 Timothy 2, and this is 23 through 25, and this is in the Passion Translation. Stay away from all the foolish arguments of the immature, for these disputes will only generate more conflict. For a true servant of our Lord Jesus will not be argumentative, but gentle toward all and skilled in helping others see the truth, having great patience toward the immature. Then with meekness, you'll be able to carefully enlighten those who argue with you so they can see God's gracious gift of repentance and be brought to the truth. Now, refuse to engage in debates. Spiritually immature people want to debate all the time. Religious people want to debate all the time. Religious people are not meek people. I didn't say Christian. There was a lot of Christians, but then there's a lot of religious Christians. Can you understand? There's a difference between being religious and being a Christian. Meek people consider other people better than themselves. Psalms 131 and 1 says, Lord, my heart is meek before you. I don't consider myself better than others. I'm content not to pursue matters that are over my head, such as your complex mysteries and wonders that I'm not yet ready to understand. Now, okay. Can we dig deep this morning? Many times as pastor, I've been asked, what do you believe about this? And the reason I've been asked is because people want to know. And a lot of times I have to say, I don't know. I don't have a clue. That was one of the first things I learned as a pastor. I've got to tell people I don't know, because I don't know a lot of stuff about the Word of God. I don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. And but I'll tell you if I know to the best of my ability and best according to the Word of God. But sometimes people will ask you stuff like this. I've learned this as a pastor in all these years. And they really don't want to know what I believe. They already know what I believe. What they want to do is take what I'm going to say and they want to insert it in the argument that they're in. They want to say, well, Pastor said. And I'm involved in arguments that I know nothing about, that I've never even put my 2 cents in. You understand? And that's silliness. That's silliness. Okay. Second Timothy 2 and 14. This is the Passion Translation. Be committed to teach the believers all these things when you're with them in the presence of the Lord. Instruct them, here we go, never to be drawn into meaningless arguments. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've been drawn into meaningless arguments over and over in my life. I remember one time, the Holy Spirit, I really didn't understand what He was saying, but He gave me a check about going somewhere one day. And I was going to meet with people that were very close to me. And I got a check, don't do it. And I reasoned it away. I said, there's nothing wrong with this. I mean, what could possibly be wrong with this? There's nothing that is wrong with this. Got in the biggest argument of my life in that meeting that day. If I'd have just obeyed the Holy Spirit. Sometimes He'll lead us to do things and not to say things and not to be in certain places at certain times. Can you see that? To keep us out of arguments. Thank you very much. Instruct them to never be drawn into meaningless arguments or tear each other down with useless words that only harm others. Okay? Now, there was a man that I used to work with, and I don't even know if he's still alive now. And I'm certainly not going to call his name. But he'd rather argue than eat. And you can tell I'd rather eat than argue. You can take one look at me, that man would rather eat. He don't want to argue, he wants to eat. That's correct. But he was always leaving, okay, we had these lockers with our stuff and whatever, and he was always leaving tracks right in front of my locker. He knew where my locker was, and he's leaving a track about the error of the church that I'm involved in. And how, I mean, it'd be a different track. I mean, he spent a lot of money on tracks because he's sending these tracks all the time to me, putting them in front of my locker. He did the exact same thing with my boss. And then my boss was telling me about it one day. I said, well, I feel a little better now. He said, why? I said, because I thought I was the only one. I didn't know you were getting it too. And he really didn't like the denomination of my boss. And I never once considered the denomination being different. I could care less. What does it matter, the name on the door? Find you a point of agreement. I'm not looking for places to disagree. I'm looking for places to agree. Where can we agree? Can we agree about the blood of Jesus? Can we agree that you know, just being born again by the blood of Jesus? And okay. My error that he so wanted to argue about and drew me into plenty of them, excuse me, learned this. I'm teaching this from experience because I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. I argued. My error was that I didn't believe exactly like him because he wanted to argue the Bible all the time and he wanted to prove he was right. That was his thing, arguing and debating. I have never, ever seen someone one to God over arguing or debating. Maybe I'll be proved wrong, but I don't believe debates win people because people have already got a firm, fixed opinion. It takes the Holy Spirit to do His work. Now, prayer will do it. I mean, you can prayer and pray that God will send somebody across their path just to plant a right seed. Some people, you and me, we can't even talk to them about the Lord or the things of God. Or we're going to get in an argument with them and we're going to be condemning them before we know it. And, you know, most of us have run off our families by being judgmental and critical when we first came to the Lord. I know I'm not talking to any of you, but you can get the CD and give it to your families that you ran off. Hallelujah. But like I say, his thing was arguing and debating, and especially the Word of God. It seemed that his main objective was to prove that he was right and everybody else was wrong. That's spiritual immaturity, and it's being religious, and it's all rolled into one. Instead of pointing his finger at me and my boss, which is how he spent, I think, a lot of his time, he should have been examining his own walk with God. Now, I'm going to pull you back into Romans now, and we're going to jump over to Romans 14, 13 and 14. This is in the Message. I'm only giving a portion of this. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. This is the Jeopardy theme song, because we need a pause. We need to think, because we're, a lot of times, we forget about deciding what's right for each other. We're trying to show everybody else what's right for them. Thank you very much. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else making life more difficult than it already is. That's a refrigerator scripture for me. I like it. Romans 14, 22, this is in the Message. Cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. Ain't that good? That's so good. The Message again, Romans 14, 2 through 4. For instance, a person who's been around for a while might well be convinced that you can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background, he's talking about fussing about food and stuff, okay, while another with a different background might assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they failed to criticize what they ate, the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. God invited the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal and the Charismatic and the Presbyterian. He invited everybody to the table. Thank you very much. Wouldn't it be terribly rude if they failed to criticize them what the other ate or didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? I think that's so good. Because we cross people off the guest list. This man that I used to work with, I was crossed off God's guest list because I didn't measure up to what his opinion of what I should be believing. Thank you very much. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? No. If there are corrections, get this. If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. That is so good. And we think we've got to be Holy Spirit Junior all the time. Y'all ever been Holy Spirit Junior? In the Message in Romans 14 and 5, or say one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much alike any other. There are good reasons either way, so each person is free to follow the convictions of conscience. See, there's so many people in the body of Christ that'll argue that, you know, we should be having church on Saturday because Saturday's the Sabbath. Well, it wasn't actually given. It was given to the Jews. It's not given to the Gentiles. But what difference does it make if you worship on Saturday or Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? What does it matter? What is important is that all keep a holy day and keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we're answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. Not each other. Not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that He could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. The guy I used to work with, Petty Tyranny. That would be a good name for him. Petty Tyranny. Never mind. Just thought I'd throw that in. Just thought it was cool. Okay. When I was on a different job, and I had just gotten born again. And I was just baby Christian. I'd been a couple of weeks. And I was on my job, and this other Christian was wanting to argue with me about the fact that God wants us to prosper. I was saying, yeah, He does want us to prosper. You know, it's in the Word. I couldn't tell you where it was at. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I had just started going. Then several of them, that happens a lot of times, you get lured into an argument, and then several people join in. Have y'all ever had it happen to you? And it's kind of like attack mode. You know, it's like the wildebeest. You know, y'all, never mind. That's a bad picture. Never mind. Anyway, they got into it and they're arguing and they said the Bible, Bible says money is the root of all evil. And I didn't have nothing to answer with that. I didn't know. I didn't know anything to answer. I was working right next to a Baptist minister. And he spoke up to help me. And he told them, he said, that's not what the Word says. They said, yes, it is. That's what the Word says. He said, no, it's not. He said, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. I was in awe of that man. He was my hero. He silenced the religious people with the word. That's what Jesus did on many occasions. I'm going to give you another example, similar to the others. Another time, I was at a church, and it was my home church at that time. I was just a member there. Wasn't old in the Lord at all. I'm very young. And this has been years and years ago. Well, you know that. I'm 62. Anyway, there was a, I'm going to say it this way. There was a religious man at the church. Now, he's somebody that's only been there 2 or 3 months. He didn't teach. He didn't minister or anything. He just came for a while, and then he left. But anyway, he found my Bible on the pew one day. And I came in, and I'm young. I'm wet behind the ears. And he tried to guilt me and just tell me how I was treating the Word of God irreverently by leaving it on the church pew, and how I should be ashamed of myself. And he just went on and on and on. And I let him. I didn't know any better. I thought, really? Because religious people, they love to argue. That's one. And they love to correct other people. Y'all got it? He was wrong. I read my Bible all the time. I mean it. I'd read it before work. It was my lifeline. It was my breath. I couldn't go anywhere without my Bible. I had a Bible in my back pocket. And I'd take it everywhere. I'm on break at work. I get by myself, and I'm reading my Word that's in my back pocket. I have a full New Testament and Old Testament. One Bible in my back pocket. Matter of fact, it really got smushed up. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I was on fire for reading the Word. And he said all this, and I believed him because I said, well, maybe God is expecting more of me. And I'm a baby. I don't know no different. I don't know he's being religious. And it just hurt me. And then the Lord really started showing me some things, and I started seeing the truth about that man. And the Lord assured me I was doing the right thing, but this was somebody that just wanted to go around with their finger and correct other people. Well, what if I'd have left church over that? What if I'd have left God over that? That religious man would have been responsible for that. Can you see that? That's the reason it's very important, the words that we say and how we say them, and we got to let the Holy Spirit do His work in people. Like we were joking about last week, somebody coming in here, and they've been smoking marijuana right before they walk through the door. They smell of marijuana. They've been here 3 weeks, and somebody is expecting them to be cleaned up as somebody that's been living for the Lord 60 years. You expect them to, you know, everything has dropped off. Well, everything ain't dropped off all of us. I'm not giving anybody a license to sin. That's not what I'm saying. People are sinning. Every one of us is sinning many times without a license. Thank you very much. I'm saying we should grow in the Lord, and we should grow above these things, past these things. Absolutely, the Holy Spirit will do work. But He's going to do one thing at a time. He's not going to overwhelm us because, God, the Holy Spirit's trying to deal with our speech because we cuss. He's trying to deal with our smoking or marijuana or whatever He's got. You know, He's got His finger on 1,000 stuff. He's got His finger on motives, wrong motives. He's got His finger on a lot of stuff. And we're being changed in the image of Christ, but it's a time process. Thank you very much. What that man didn't know is I left that Bible at church most of the time on purpose. I did it so I wouldn't forget my Bible for the church services. I had Bible at my house, had it in my bedroom, had it in my back pocket. I had it all over the place. No joke. I was taking it back in my car. And he thought I was being disreverent, but he was looking at things wrongly. He was looking at things in the natural, and that's not the way they were. I wanted to please God with all my heart, and that's the reason it hurt me so bad. But this man had yielded to a religious spirit, and that'll bust people up from serving God. It'll pull them out of the church. I'm not condoning living in sin, because after you become a Christian for any length of time, you can't just live in sin knowingly doing wrong. Knowingly. You can't. You just can't do it. There's going to be consequences to it. But I'm telling you, it's a process that the Lord will deal with us. And I hope y'all are getting something. So religious people always feel a need to correct someone else. Okay, Romans 14 and 4. I read it a second ago in that big passage of Scripture, Message again. If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. The Jeopardy theme song again. Dun, dun, dun. Never mind. Romans 14, 17, and 18. This is a partial of this. Your task, my task, all of our task, is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone. Pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. Every time that I'm being critical or judgmental, I'm really being religious. Ouch. We talked about a few weeks ago, Philippians 2 and 3. We went over several verses in that. And Philippians 2 and 3 in the Passion says, be free from pride-filled opinions. Religious people are full of pride-filled opinions. And sometimes God wants us to be meek and keep our opinions to ourselves. That'll stop a lot of arguments. That would keep us out of a lot of trouble. Pride-filled people, religious people, draw attention to themselves by sharing their opinion with everyone. The more we become like Jesus, the less attention we draw to ourselves. Are you a Christian or are you just religious? Is Jesus in your heart? Is Jesus your Lord? Okay, I'm going to step here because I believe the Holy Spirit showed me this. Another man I used to work with, he would be praising God. He's on my, you know, where my locker was. He's right down from me. I knew him. I'd worked with him, you know, where I worked. You worked with just about everybody out of the 500 people. You worked in different places all the time, so I knew him. And he'd be down in his locker just praising God. He's just, you know, I thought, wow, that's good. Then on many other occasions, I saw him cussing God so much, I ain't never. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, this was fluent cussing. This was not baby cussing. This was fluent cussing. And it was all about God. And I was like, there's a difference about religion and Christianity. Some people think they go to first church, second church, third church, I don't care the name of the denomination, but they think because they're a deacon or they're a pastor or they hold some position or title, trustee, whatever it is, they think that makes them born again. It doesn't. There's plenty of people that are in churches today that are not born again and are going to go to hell. And they might have served in that church and done stuff for 30 or 40 years, but in their heart, the inward man, the real them, their spirit man, they've never been born again. They've been doing outward works. Outward works are good things. Churches need those things. God needs us to do those things. But it's got to be an inward work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We're not perfect. God knows. If anybody want a do-over for this week, it will be me. I ain't got time to fool with you guys. I want to do over for me. I'm praying for me. I hope y'all make it fine. Thank you very much. So is Jesus in your heart or is He your Lord? Now, if he's Lord, there's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on because the Holy Spirit is going to try to change us in the image of Christ. Now, some people have a very shallow relationship with Him. Stay on the bus. Please, we're going around some curves on the bus. Please hold to the bus very tightly. You don't want to be thrown from the bus. A very shallow relationship with Him. They think they're cool. They go to church rarely or occasionally. They pray rarely or occasionally. It's real light. Their walk with God is real light. He's in their life, but He's not the center. Truth is, they're lukewarm. Truth is, they're religious. Truth is, they're shallow. 1 Peter 3 and 15 says, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. That word Lord means boss. It means He's calling the shots, not us. I'd call a lot of shots differently, by the way. But He doesn't. He'll call it regardless of what we want sometimes. Amen? Okay. I remember reading this story about Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. I love him. I know he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he was so good. And a man wanted to argue with Brother Hagin after, you know, seeing him somewhere or whatever, and this man was saying, you know, he's an atheist or whatever. He said, I don't believe it. I don't believe in God, and da-da-da-da. He's telling Brother Hagin what he doesn't believe, and he's trying to draw an argument. And Brother Hagin said, more or less, I'm going to give you a paraphrase. He said, don't concern yourself with it. You can't come to God anyway. And the man was bewildered. He said, what do you mean I can't come to God? I mean, he's trying to approach this argument from a different level, and Brother Hagin just gives him the truth. He said, Hebrews 11:6, this is King James, he said, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So Brother Hagin said, you don't believe that He is. Therefore, according to that scripture, you can't come to God anyway. Because you don't believe that He is, you don't qualify. That man went off bewildered, but he came back born again. It worked on him, and it worked on him, and it worked on him. Romans 14:10-12, this is a portion. I want you to read Romans 14 in Scripture. That's your homework. It's so good. Read it in something that speaks to you. There's so many good ones. I started to do the Passion today. Y'all know I do it a lot, almost all the time. But the Amplified, there's just some phrases in here I just had to... This is not the Amplified. This is the Message. I do it. I even wrote it in my notes, Amplified. I wrote it when on where the page where I was greeting y'all, I wrote the Amplified. And knowing the whole time it's the Message. Never mind. I had to have that little talk with myself. Calm myself back down and get myself off the ledge. Thank you very much. So read it for yourself in Scripture wherever you may find it. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will tell the honest truth that I and only I am God. Here we go. Romans 14:10-12 in the Amplified. This is a partial again. So mind your own business. Now, I'm going to... Okay, let me go. Okay. So mind your own business. You've got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. You know, I've said that to y'all so many times. Just mind your own business. I'm minding my business because I ain't got time to fool with y'all. I got my hands full. I did not know that was an actual scripture that read the exact thing that I've been saying. Here it is. You'll find it either in the Amplified or the Message. I'm not sure, but it is in the Word of God. Look for it. It'll do you good. Amen? Read it again. Okay, now I'm gonna break it down a little bit. So mind your own business. Now, you know, I don't know how long ago, months and months ago, maybe over a year. I don't know. Time runs, and I'm not sure. But on one of the Sundays, I had brought out another scripture that says this very thing. There's several scriptures that say mind your own business. But one was in the back, and he took his cell phone, and he captured that on video about that I was reading the scripture on mind your own business. And he captured that on video, and it was just a rough cut, just that little 10-15 second cut of me reading that scripture. And then he put it on YouTube. Do you know there's been like 500 or 600 people that have seen that little rough cut of, I don't know if they just wanted to give it to their friends or if they, what the deal was, but it's one of the most viewed things. Well, I mean, everybody wanted to view mind your own business. And instead of people telling other people mind your own business, they just say, let me show you something on YouTube. I just thought it was cool. Now, on this Romans 14, I read this in a bunch of different translations all the way through. I read it, that's the way I do. And as I was reading it in all these different translations, Jody had told me about, and I've used it a couple times, about how certain translations in the YouVersion app will read the word to you. You don't have to pay for Audible or nothing. It's all free. So I put Romans 14 in my YouVersion, you know, I pulled it up and I pulled it in the message. And I'm just, I clicked on the button. It's so simple, and I'm just listening to it. And I listen to it all the way through, and then I listen to it again. Jody said she listens to it at night before she goes to bed a lot of times and just lets it just get into her. I love that. But I listen to it, and I listen to it. And then I noticed the man that's reading it, whoever he is, has got a wonderful voice, and he's doing a great job. But there's one little phrase that when he gets to it in this long set of scriptures, he changes it. He didn't change any other words in this scripture, but he changes Romans 14. And instead of saying, "So mind your own business," he said, "So tend to your knitting." And I'm like, what did he just say? So tend to your knitting. I was probably too quick. What did he say? And so I replayed it again. So tend to your knitting. And I said, "No, I know I didn't hear that right." And I played it. So tend to your knitting. He's not saying mind your own business, but that's his way of saying, instead of saying mind your own business, so tend to your knitting. So if you don't want to tell somebody or be rude or rough with them, instead of saying mind your own business, just say tend to your knitting. They won't know what in the world you're talking about, but you didn't argue with them and you got the best. There again, the last part of that, you got your hands full just taking care of your own life before God. Romans 14, again, I'm coming to a close. This is my first closing. I'm going to have 17. This is 19 through 21, partial of it. So let's agree to use all of our energy in getting along with each other. It takes a lot of energy to get along with each other. We all have different personalities and different crazy things in our personalities and stuff. And look at your neighbor and say, he's definitely talking about you. And then you can look at me and say, he's definitely talking about you, Pastor, too. We know that for sure. So let's agree to use all our energy in getting along with each other. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. Don't eat or say or do things that might interfere with the free exchange of love. Romans 14, wherever, 13 and 14. Forget about deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to be concerned about, that you don't get in the way of someone else making life more difficult than it already is. Last little spots and I'm done. For example, this is Colossians 2 and 21. I don't know what version. For example, I give it up. I have no clue, okay? Because, you know, my printer, when I'm printing this stuff out, it does not print the version anymore. It prints the scripture, but it don't print the version. Never mind. Thank you very much. This is Colossians 2 and 21, and if you can find it, it's in your Bible. For example, there are strict requirements. You can't associate with that person, or don't eat that, or you can't touch that. Number 22, these are the doctrines of men and corrupt customs that are worthless to help you spiritually. Galatians 5 and 18, whatever version. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. Back to that first scripture, and Deborah, if you'll come after this. Welcome, Romans 14 and 1. Now this one is in the message. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump over all of them every time they do or say something you don't agree with.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.